Hi, it's Diane. On my mind, Trump deploys federal agents to cities. For nearly 2 months following the killing of George Floyd, protesters in Portland gathered to voice opposition to police violence and racism. Then this month, videos and images surfaced of federal agents in unmarked vehicles using force and making arrests there, prompting confusion and fear. The Trump administration has since said those officers are from the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, sent by the Department of Homeland Security. Those same agents are now standing by in Seattle. To help make sense of this, I spoke with Zolan Cano Youngs, New York Times Homeland Security correspondent. Zolan, the Trump administration has promised to use the full force of the government to defend federal property, and that effort included Portland. They're now expanding it to Seattle. Explain what's going on.
Sure. So I think that this story goes back a couple weeks. Even before some of the unrest that we saw in Washington, D.C. and Lafayette Square as well. In late May, what you had was mass demonstrations throughout the United States and individual acts of violence as well, and individuals within those acts who at times were damaging property and small groups in which it escalated at times. Now, there was one incident in Oakland, California, in which an officer who was guarding a federal courthouse with the Federal Protective Service, which is an arm of the Department of Homeland Security, was shot and killed. The reason I bring this up is because the next day you had a rare press conference from senior officials with the Department of Homeland Security, in which they, in addition to honoring that officer, they also kind of laid out a message, right? And that message was that they would not tolerate any damaging of federal property. At one point, the acting deputy secretary, Ken Cuccinelli, actually said, if you do these crimes, that they would treat it as an act of domestic terrorism. I think the reaction at that time wasn't as much that there was a reality in which those charges would be brought, but it did send a message that we might see a different response and involvement when it comes to the federal government, when it comes to demonstrations, which historically, for the most part, were a local police department matter. And then after that, we saw large-scale federal deployment in Washington, D.C. after a weekend of unrest. Multiple federal agencies, as well as the Arlington County Police in front of Lafayette Park, clearing the way, using chemical substances to clear the way for a photo opportunity for the president. Black Hawk helicopters, you know, flying in downtown D.C. I say all of that to set the stage because I do think that that led kind of the way to where we are now in Portland. Fast forward a couple weeks after that unrest in Washington, D.C., you may remember that the focus of these demonstrations, while they weren't as widespread, the focus started to hone in on monuments that some felt were symbols of a described racist past of this country. And at that point, you also saw a reaction from the president, in which he comes with an executive order as well, directing his federal agencies to, you know, increase security at statues, monuments, but also, and this is important, federal property. At that time, DHS is one of those agencies that responds, and they pull together these teams of tactical agents from various agencies. During the weekend of July 4th, they were dispatched to a couple cities, but you didn't really hear much about it, but one of those cities was Portland. And that was the deployment that we're seeing now. Those are the agents that are on the ground now. Now, during this time, there had been protests in Portland, really around, and similarly, a federal courthouse, federal property. And what you have is the department reacting in part to the president's direction to increase security at federal property. But the department is also citing a decades-old statute that says that the Homeland Security Agency will or shall defend federal property. But I think the question here is also to what extent an arm of the Department of Homeland Security, the Federal Protective Service, already had that mission. And to see the deployment that we're now seeing, I think provides some stark images and has prompted many, including former officials with the Department of Homeland Security, to raise an eyebrow at the tactics that were seeing deployed there.
So to what extent in Portland were the protesters in any way damaging or harming federal property?
Yes, it's important as well to lay the context here, right? I think everyone's not painted under the same brush when we talk about these crowds. During the day, I think you still see many of those peaceful protesters. Even in the night, there are some people that go and protest peacefully. We have seen mothers, you know, locked in arms outside of the protests. We have seen families go out, you know, as well, you know, demonstrating. But also, the Department of Homeland Security published a list of, and I should say their allegations, but a list that includes people using lasers against to shine at federal agents, throwing rocks, throwing water bottles as well at officials. The acting secretary of the department actually traveled to Portland last week and took images in front of walls around some of that federal property that had been defaced with graffiti. As well as, I should say, there was a police union building in which individuals set fire to that building. But, and I, you know, I want to be clear about this. There have been individuals in this crowd that have gone out and, based off of the department's account, committed crimes against that federal property and threatened those officers. The question is, how widespread is it? And what kind of response does it warrant?
So the so-called special response teams, they're in Portland and now on standby in Seattle. Why?
So yes, let's talk about the teams that are there. In Portland, you have U.S. Marshals. And on the Department of Homeland Security side, you have a team known as the BORTAC team from Border Patrol. Usually, they would be investigating drug smuggling, high-intensity operations. And then you also have special teams with ICE. And then, as you noted, you also now have another special response team that's similar to BORTAC that has been deployed to Seattle. I think we should go back to the history of the department a little bit, just real quickly. When the Department of Homeland Security was created, we should remember that it was in the wake of 9/11. And right, you had all of these different agencies that were cobbled together to form this one agency that was supposed to have a coordinated effort to protect the United States from national security threats. And at that time, I think the thinking was primarily foreign terrorism threats. One of the advantages at the time that people thought is we can put all these agencies together in order to have agents support one another. This agency is struggling with this threat, so why don't we bring this team that's able to quickly be deployed and support them? What I think a lot of people question now is, was the intent ever to actually turn your attention away from outside the United States to inward, to domestic issues, and at that, to demonstrations? Now, if you ask the current leaders of the department, they would say that they're filling a void. The acting secretary, Chad Wolf, said at a press conference earlier this week that he called the mayor of Portland, as well as the governor of Portland, and said, I want to collaborate with you guys. And they said, and this is the words of Chad Wolf, I'm paraphrasing here, but pretty much no thanks. We have this under control. And regardless, the acting secretary has deployed these tactical teams to, as he's described, fill this void that has been created.
Is there no control that either the mayor of Portland or the governor of Oregon has when the Department of Homeland Security says, we'd like to come in and help you?
Historically, when it comes to something like this, I mean, former Homeland Security officials have told me, yes, we can deploy these teams, given that that courthouse is a federal courthouse and we are the federal agency responsible for guarding those buildings. But if you ask former officials, they would say, look, a huge role of this department is collaborating with state and local agencies. One must remember that this is the department that also issues grants to state and local law enforcement departments, often relies on them, and it goes both ways for information sharing. So if you ask previous officials or former officials, they would say, yeah, we can, but it is very rare that you would ever have a unilateral intervention. In fact, Tom Ridge, the first Homeland Security Secretary of the department, said in a radio interview the other day, I think he said, and you can check this, but it would be a cold day in hell if I would have a unilateral intervention in a location like this.
He was also on the NewsHour last night saying pretty much the same thing. So what's the excuse in Seattle? Beyond demonstrations, are we again saying, well, federal buildings are being threatened?
So if you ask DHS, they would say, and they're emphasizing this, they're drawing a line between what's going on in Portland and what's in this deployment in Seattle. They are saying that it is pretty much as a precaution at this time. You know, they're dispatching this tactical team of CBP. Now, I did speak to an FPS official yesterday, Federal Protective Service official, who confirmed that they're going to be there. And I asked, well, if they're on standby, why deploy them? You know, what's the point here? And there are expected demonstrations this weekend, too. But at this time, they are saying that drawing a line between what's going to happen, what's happened in Portland and what's happened here. And as far as the justification, they say it is the same, however, that we need help protecting these buildings in the case that any of these expected demonstrations would get unwieldy.
Federal officials have also said they plan to send hundreds of law enforcement officers to Chicago to help fight gun violence. Now, number one, how is this different from what's happening in Portland and Seattle? But number two, the president has said these are all led by Democrats who aren't doing enough. And if you elect Joe Biden, he's going to be the same loose guy and he's going to bring down our cities. So is this truly in defense of cities or is it a purely political move?
Number one, this deployment, you have, as opposed to the deployment in Portland, which is a majority, the Department of Homeland Security, and a lot of those tactical agents that would usually be along the border and what have you, this involves a bit more of the traditional law enforcement agencies, agents that you would see coming from federal agencies, the FBI, the ATF. You still do have Homeland Security agents that are going from actually a division of ICE, HSI agents, special agents that don't do as much immigration matters, but more so long-term investigations will be deployed. That's a bit more in the traditional landscape. But here's the thing, as you noted, even in the announcement of this, you can see the difference between the Attorney General announcing it, and even the acting secretary announcing it, saying this will be different than Portland. But in the president announcing it, saying, and as well as his comments from the previous day, saying we're deploying this federal force to these cities, kind of wrapping in the political rhetoric into law enforcement matters, which if you speak to law enforcement officials, they would hope would be apolitical. So you see them trying to draw a line, but as you noted, the president seems intent on pointing the finger at the Democratic leaders leading these cities. Just a day before this announcement, his campaign actually issued an ad for his reelection in which it displayed images, not just from Portland, but from unrest, and of course, highlighting some of the more individual acts of violence and some of that unrest, and ending it by saying, as you noted, you won't be safe in Joe Biden's America. And it does bring up a question when you speak to those who used to be with these federal agencies, as well as others in the law enforcement community, as well as observers. And that is the sole measure of success here, bringing an end to this unrest that we're seeing? Or is it partially about the optics of this as well? The president for weeks has been touting himself as a law and order president, as one that would crack down on the alleged crime and alleged chaos in these cities that he has sought to describe in such a way. And the optics of deploying tactical agents to stop the chaos that he is depicting and describing would help him with that message. So you're seeing that the measure of success may be involving, or likely is involving, politics at this time.
More of my conversation with Zolan Kano-Youngs after a short break.
DCS Daily.
DCS Daily.
DCS Daily.
It's news,
culture, and curiosities.
From the District, Tacoma Park,
Alexandria,
Friendship Heights,
Hyattsville,
Falls Church,
Northeast Washington, D.C., in your inbox every weekday afternoon.
DCS Daily.
Sign up at dcs.com/newsletter.
dcs.com/newsletter.
Here's the rest of my conversation with Zolan Kano-Youngs. He's the New York Times Homeland Security correspondent. So the question becomes, how likely are these federal agents going to spread throughout the country in ways that, in my view, I mean, I hate to use this phrase, but they look like brown shirts. They are not wearing identification. For the most part, they weren't in Portland, certainly to begin with. They are arresting people and then letting them go without charging them. They are frightening people. And as the mayor said, as the governor of Portland said, making things worse. How can the president continue to justify this kind of federal move in to democratically operated cities?
I think there's two kind of statements and messages that we've heard from the head of the agency I cover, the Department of Homeland Security, that I think kind of help answer the question of what's to come, right? So on one hand, the senior official, Chad Wolf, the acting secretary of the department, has said the situation in Portland is quote unquote unique, right? Now that would seem to say that we would not likely see the spread of tactical agents throughout the country. That this is something that the unrest there has warranted exclusively. But at the same time, a couple things need to be noted there. 2 days later, they did dispatch another team to Seattle. So there's that. You know, the president is very keen on seeing this display of force. We mentioned the politics there. So there's that as well. And then also, as far as their justification and maybe foreshadowing what's to come as well, the senior officials have repeatedly cited U.S. Code 40.13.15. And what that says is that they shall protect federal property, but not just for protect federal property, but that the acting secretary has the ability to designate any agent, not just with FPS, but any of the Homeland Security agencies, to be dispatched to go protect federal property, which is what's happening in Portland. And he also, I want to bring up another comment that he said that may clash a bit with the Portland is unique situation. And that is when he said, I don't need permission from these local and state leaders in order to send these officials into these cities to protect federal buildings.
And that in and of itself is brand new, is it not? Has that ever been done before other than after 9/11 without the permission of local and state authorities?
The law isn't new. The sending federal agents into cities for certain situations is not new. What I think we are seeing that we have not seen in a while is the rhetoric of these federal officials on top of the tactics displayed here. You're still seeing senior officials with the administration pretty much attacking the mayor of Portland and attacking the governor for not, in their words, doing enough to calm the situation.
Yeah.
And this goes back to earlier in our conversation. The main difference here is the lack of collaboration between the state and locals and the federal authorities. And one more thing, if I can just bring up kind of what's a question here, because I brought up that law before. And I don't want to make it seem like there's no debate over the authority that it's given to these federal authorities. The question here as well, because you brought up very wisely as well, the tactics that these agents are actually using in Portland, right? So the senior officials have defended the fact that protesters there are saying that they lack proper insignia. You can imagine how alarming it would be to see someone in camouflage coming up to you. They're saying, well, look, they have police on them. They have the logo of an agency on them. But there is a question here. And the administration is saying, and it does say it in the law, that we legally have the ability to conduct investigations away from federal property within the city. And that's how they've defended going and detaining somebody and going to question them. But the question as well here is, what's the level of probable cause? What's the standard for that investigation when you go and pick somebody up? I think that is also going to be that sticks around for a bit and will continue to be debated in the days to come.
The Inspector General of the Department of Justice has launched an investigation into the federal agents' tactics in Portland and in front of Lafayette Square in Washington in early June. The Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security is also looking into the use of force in Portland. Talk about these investigations.
Well, one other thing that the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General said that it would examine as well at this time in its letter to Democrats is also the authority that the department is using to deploy all of these forces to these cities. We've brought up this law a good amount, but they also mentioned the executive order that the president signed directing his agencies to go defend statues, monuments, and federal property. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those investigations as well. I mean, yeah, we're seeing a level of whether it be local, state, the inspector generals as well, people have questions here, right? And I think it does come down to this. Where is the line between fulfilling your legal mandate, your responsibility of protecting federal property, and crossing that line, quite literally, into going into the city and potentially violating the civil liberties of people that are going out to protest? This is something that I think will definitely be debated in the investigations to come. How much justification do you need at times, or what standard must you meet in order to utilize the tactics that we're seeing in these cities?
But you know, to some people, it looks as though the Department of Homeland Security has become Donald Trump's private army, that in these urban confrontations, the Department of Defense made it clear after the Lafayette Square fiasco, it would not allow its troops to be used for crowd control. So is this an effort on the president's part to use these various troops from various departments to create a situation that makes him look like the strong law and order president?
In the president's first term, there have long been questions, specifically with the Department of Homeland Security, over the level of politicization of this department under President Trump. Initially, with the Southwest border and the redirection, the reprogramming of billions of dollars away from the Department of Defense to construct his border wall. The immigration policies that have almost singularly been focused on, if you were to ask observers as well as former officials. Let's remember, this is an agency that has quite a good many responsibilities. FEMA is under the Department of Homeland Security. FEMA has a huge stake in the coronavirus pandemic response. The department is responsible for cybersecurity. We have an election coming up. There have long been questions with this department about the priorities under President Trump. And I think that this adds to that. I would say the reporting shows that it really adds to that. That whether or not this deployment should be the number one priority for this department. And I think it should be noted as well, you know, a lot of people that I talk to have brought up the current state of leadership at the various federal agencies under the president, and whether that allows for the actions and decisions that we are seeing. The department hasn't had a Senate confirmed secretary in quite a while, since Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen After that, it was Kevin McAleenan. And now we have Chad F. Wolf, his deputy also being in acting. So there's questions around that as well.
Columnist Ann Applebaum wrote for The Atlantic that the officers who are going into these cities don't have the training necessary for the kind of crowd control that is indeed what's needed there. And they have experience patrolling the borders, checking on airline passengers, doing things of that sort. But exactly the wrong kind of experience for dealing with the situations in Portland or in Seattle. Annette Polbaum also went on to say that instead of working with local leaders, what these troops are doing is antagonizing them, not making the situation better, but actually making it worse.
So as far as the training, we last weekend at the Times, we obtained a memo that actually was addressed to Acting Secretary Wolf, an official Department of Homeland Security memo. For this answer, I'd like to just read one section of it.
I'll
quote here. The highly skilled tactical teams assigned to support the civil unrest and riots do not specifically have training in riot control or mass demonstrations. Moving forward, if this type of response is going to be the norm, specialized training and standardized equipment should be deployed to these responding agencies. You're right that these teams, and this is how the department and the administration has pushed back against our report. They have not denied the authenticity of the memo. They have said that these teams, as you noted, are at the border, often dealing with crowds of migrants that may go to the ports of entry, often dealing with, have been deployed to riots at ICE detention facilities. Regardless, there is a question here. This section was in a memo that was addressed to the highest levels of the department. So I think it brings up a question over whether that training that they received prepared them well to go into cities and respond to what we're seeing now. And this brings up the second portion to your question. I used to cover the NYPD, and when you talk to local police department leaders, they will often say that the key to calming a protest or a demonstration is de-escalation tactics. And I talked to one local police chief right when the Washington, D.C. kind of tension happened with the federal deployment there. And they were saying, even the mere notion of just almost seeing the image of a federal agent or a tactical officer, it's so much more difficult to de-escalate tensions at that time. And of course, we should note that, yes, there are still acts of violence that are being committed in these demonstrations, you know. But the question here is, how do you bring this to an end?
Exactly.
And are the forces there the best way to do that? And with the friction right now between the federal leaders and the local leaders, I'm still left with the question of how this will come to an end.
So the Trump campaign for his reelection and right-wing media are now using images from Portland to again brand Donald Trump as a law and order president. The question becomes, is it working, considering the kind of backlash you're getting from citizenry and elected officials, or is it helping to drive down Trump's advantage that he thought he had going into this election campaign?
I think it's to be determined on what the results will be. I mean, we know that the administration is intent on stoking division and also rallying his base with this, you know, quote unquote, law and order message. We also know that my colleague Mike Baker wrote, included this in a good story. He's on the ground in Portland. And I think it's also important to note that there's this message, as you noted, from some outlets, but also from administrations themselves, that these American cities are under siege. And he included in his piece that, yes, while tensions are high, especially at night around the federal courthouse, he was saying that in Portland, you still have people going to diners during the day. You still have people enjoying the river during the day. You still have people walking around. He did not describe it as a city under siege. So there seems to be as well a difference between kind of the reality of the situation and some of the portrayals.
In this time of chaos, in this time of COVID, do you believe that the American people are getting a very different impression of the role of the Department of Homeland Security?
I think that is actually one of the main worries of some of the people that helped stand the department up, that helped build this department. We mentioned earlier how, in addition to protecting the U.S. from threats, in addition to responding to national disasters and national emergencies, one huge factor in every mission of the Department of Homeland Security is relationships with state and local departments, but also the public. Being able to have the public come forward with tips, being able to have the public trust the law enforcement agencies that are designed to protect them. And if you speak to some of the officials that help stand this department up, it's their primary concern.
Before we close, do you have any other thoughts you'd like to convey to our listeners?
I mean, going forward, I suppose I'm curious, and one thing that I will be focused on in my reporting is staying on as well this story in Portland, because as we noted, both the federal authorities do not seem intent on pulling out at this time, and the local authorities continue to want them to. So it seems we are still at a stalemate there. But I think one thing that it's important to remember is just how broad the mission set of this department is. And while we focus on these deployments, I'll be interested on how the department continues to respond to some of the other crises that are facing this country. The coronavirus, cyber threats, immigration matters as well, national security threats, terrorism threats. There's so many issues that this department is responsible for. And I in no ways mean to say that this department of 240,000 employees is not working on all of those issues. I'm sure that career officials in there are, but there is a question of when the focus, yes, rhetorically wise, is so exclusively on one thing. My question is, will that send a message down throughout the facets of the department? It's something that we'll try to report out.
Zolan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And that's all for today. Thanks to those of you who've reached out to me to let me know what you'd like me to cover during this very difficult time. Do continue to let us know what's on your mind. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, or send us an email, drpodcast@wamu.org. Our theme music is composed by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg of Wonderly. The show is produced by Rebecca Kaufman, Allison Brody, and Sandra Baker. Our engineer is Mike Kidd. Thanks for listening. Please do wear those masks. I'll talk to you next week. I'm Diane Rames.